Philippians chapter number 3, verse number 10 through verse number 14, we'll read. It said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I'd already attained, or as I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before. And then verse number 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for everything that you've done for me. God, I thank you for just being so good. And God, I pray that you'd continue to have your hand on this church, this ministry. It's so incredible to be back at a place years later and not be in the same place, really. It's just grown. There's so many new faces, so many new people, and just such a work that you've done, God. And I pray that you'd continue to have your hand on this ministry and that you would just be with them, comfort those that need comforting, and just make yourself real to them. We love you and thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You know, I do remember the first time our first child, Deacon, whenever he was born, how exciting that was and how just new it was. And usually in life, that's how things are. Like right now, I am pretty fired up about this church because it's new. And we're down there, we're remodeling and working our tails off. And I love every second of it. I'm out. We have an apartment complex right next to us. These kids are coming over. They're like, what are you doing over here? We're building a church. And they're like, well, I don't like church. I'm like, well, you never tried this one? And they're like, all right, we'll try it. And I'm like, it's that easy. But where I'm from, kids can just walk to church because there's so many churches on every corner. But down there's nothing. And I can't help but look out here and see these little kids and think, someone's got to tell these kids about the Lord. Someone's got to run buses across town to pick up these little kids. And a lot of times, as people that have grown up in church your whole life, like myself, we can get comfortable. We can get stagnant. And you know, it's like that with everything in life. I mean, I remember the very first time I saw my wife. I was like, whoa, who is that? I remember I was in college and she visited from California and she was standing up here singing. And I was like, that girl's not from here. I would know her immediately. But I remember going up to her and stuttering because I was nervous. And I was excited. But can I be honest with you? We've been married 10 years now. It's not always like that now. That doesn't make it right, but it's not always like that now. I remember the very first job I ever had. It was like a real job. I mean, I've been hauling hay since I was too young to even remember, and I always hated that. But the first real job I had where I would show up and get a check at the end of the week every week, it was going to be great. My brother had a job for this marble and granite company that had this big farm, and my whole job was going to be weed eating. And I was excited for about the first 30 minutes. And then I was like, this job is awful. I'm weed eating these trenches. And about the time I get close to being done, it's like time to start over again. It was like the never ending cycle. But I was fired up for a minute or two. I remember the first time I ever got a job at a church. And I graduated from college and they gave us this placement list. And the first name on the list was a place in Decatur, Texas, and it said music and youth. And I said, well, I can't sing, so we'll go down to number two. And that one was just youth. And I was like, all right, we can do that. I called the guy up and went intern. I remember I show up that night or show up that day. We did junior church. Everything's great. I get there that night. He said, okay, I need you to preach in the auditorium. I'm like, well, I only preach to teenagers. I don't preach to adults. So he's like, all right, well, just give me your testimony. He's like, oh, I can do that. Great. So I get up there. He introduces me. I get up there. I give my testimony. It lasts about 3 minutes. Right? I go sit down. He comes up and is like, well, amen. Can we have the piano player come forward? And he gave the invitation. I was like, I felt so horrible because I was like, is this, like, I thought he was going to preach after me. And I was trying to like limit my testimony, but it happened. But hey, I was excited to be starting a new chapter in my life. And a lot of times we have that. I remember the first time knocking on doors at Hagen Hill Apartments in El Dorado, Arkansas, and leading my first soul to the Lord. And I was fired up. I remember the first time I ever had a visitor show up to church. First time I ever had someone baptized. Can I tell you, each and every one of those things, now if that happens, the excitement sometimes isn't always there. Well, how many people were saved? Well, we just had two. What? You realize what you're saying? Well, how many of y'all have y'all's bus that, well, it was a low week. Man, if we would change our thinking back, you remember when you first got saved and how it wasn't like, well, we got church again tonight. When's that revival? I don't. Hey, and y'all might not all be like me. I grew up in church. I was drugged to church constantly from day one, like Brother Jeremy. And I didn't have an option. And there were some times in my life, if I'm honest with you, that I was sitting down here on the front row, but I didn't want to be there. I'd rather been home playing video games. Right? Yeah. I'd rather been playing basketball. But I was where I was supposed to be, and I was going through the motions. But can I tell you this? When we look at the Apostle Paul, who all the chapters we're going to be in tonight were wrote by him, one thing that he had in his life was he was fired up. Whether he was persecuting Christians, he gave it his all. Or whether he was living for the Lord, he gave it his all. And a lot of times we're guilty of before we were saved, we gave the devil and sin everything we had, and we were going wide open. And then we get saved, and there's just a complacency that hits us. And we're doing right, we're showing up to church, but we just don't have that fire. Can I give this one illustration, and we'll get right into it? But, you know, I've never been to Will's Point in my life. I know, or I have, but it was so long ago, I don't remember anything. I've never been to Will's Point whenever I was actually paying attention. And so if someone were to say, hey, what's a good place to eat around here? I would say, I have no idea. I mean, I saw the one sign of the Texican Cajun place, but that's about all I know. So if I were to go up to Brother Jeremy and say, Brother Jeremy, what's a good place to eat around here? I just want something good. And he was like, well, there's this place that's over on Main Street, and it's great. You're going to love it. Just try it out. Can I tell you by his voice and what he said, what's coming out of his mouth? Yeah, it's great. You got to try it out. I want to go. But the way he's portraying himself, right? I don't really know that I want to check that out. And sometimes as Christians, we are the same way. Well, I love the Lord. Man, God's so good. And I'm not saying we always have to be fired up, but I'm saying sometimes people want to see it. They don't want to just hear it. And if I'm here in Will's Point and I have a church like this, I'm out telling people, man, it's great. And we have a growing church. It's not a dead church. And churches can be exciting and growing without throwing in all the entertainment and the wickedness up there. You can have church and still have a good time and it be old-fashioned and it be exciting. We don't take drums and all that to have an entertaining church service and a service that's pleasing to the Lord, praising God. Hey, the Bible talks all throughout about giving praise to God. And you can come to church and praise God without all that mess. And if I had a church like this in my town, I'm telling you, and I do, and whenever I'm out and about, I'm not just saying, well, I go to Gospel Light. It's all right. I mean, preacher, he's pretty good sometimes if you catch him on a good day. But, yeah, you should try it. No, I'm saying, man, I don't know if you've ever been to church or what church you go to, but you're going to have to come check us out. And I'm excited about that. And can I tell you, if you do that, excitement is contagious. So I'm going to give this four things about finishing. If you look at verse number 14, it says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Each and every single one of us, if we turn over to 2 Timothy chapter number 4, I'm skipping ahead, but 2 Timothy chapter number 4. In verse number 6 says this, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. I want to give us tonight four things about finishing. We all are on a course in life. God has a plan for each and every one of our lives. And I wish I could handpick what my kids' course was. I wish I could say, Deacon Gunner McKinley, this is exactly what, but it's not like that. Each one of them, I grew up in a preacher's home. I have three siblings. Each and every one of us did a different thing. God had different plans for us. It's just how it happens. But there are four things that we can take from the Apostle Paul's life about finishing our course. So number one, I'll look at back to Philippians chapter number 3. I'll read it for you right there. Verse number 14 says this, I press toward the mark. Number one, if you're going to finish, you have to put your eyes on the finish line. Amen. You have to put your eyes on the finish line. And you know, I know that y'all recently lost a few people. But can I tell you this? From what I know, both of those people who lost their lives, they finished their course. It did. They were living for the Lord. There's not ever a time in my life, more than 2020, where I want to live for God. You say, why? Because the Lord could come back at any second. You say, young people, this is not the time to play games. This is not the time to run from God. This is not the time to be in church, out of church, in church, out of church. This is not a joke. There are people who are dying and going to hell, and the Lord could come back at any second, and I want to be found faithful. And when you look ahead at people who've gone before us, people who you look up to, you say, sometimes older people would have this mindset, well, you know, I've already lived for the Lord. No, keep doing it, because these young people are looking for your testimony. And right here, we realize if we're going to finish, we have to put our eyes on the mark, on the finish line. You say, what is that? Well, a marriage is till death do us part.
Amen.
Right? You say, in 10 years, have you and your wife had any fights? No. Never. Ever, ever. Yes, everyone does. And if someone misleads you to think they don't, then they're lying to you.
Amen.
Right? Everyone has ups and downs. But it's not just in the good times and the bad times. It's till death do us part. That's what I commit to. In parenting, it's not just till Sarah goes off to college. You're not done now.
Right?
How old are you?
15.
So y'all only got 3 more years and then you're completely done parenting. No, that's not how it works. He's like empty nester. Where was that vacation spot again? Oh. But check this out. We're parenting for the rest of our lives. I want my kids to be better off than me. I want my kids, whenever they're 34 years old, I want them to be in church. I want them to love the Lord then. You say, so you're not done with them when they turn 18? I might be for a week or two. I'm just kidding. But what I'm saying is this. Whenever I'm parenting, my finish line is I want my kids serving God with their families. If you don't want to fail, you have to keep your eyes on that finish line. Turn over to Acts chapter number 20. Acts chapter number 20. So number one, four things about finishing. Number one, if you're going to finish, you have to put your eyes on the finish line. Number two, all of us need to verbalize where the finish line is in your life. Just like I said, in my marriage, it's till death do us part. Quitting's not an option. It's just not. In my living for the Lord, it's not, well, I'm not going to retire on God one day. I'm going to live for God till He either comes back or until I pass away. That's just that's my end game. You say, will it happen? Lord willing. Hey, no one's promised tomorrow, and I could be out of the ministry in a week from now. But my end game, and I need to verbalize that to my kids that, hey, living for God is not something you do while you're just young. Right? But also on the flip side of that, living for God is not something you do one day whenever you get old. I remember as a teenager, I would think, well, I'm going to get serious with God whenever I get a little bit older. When I hit like 22, 23 and I'm old, then I'll start living for God. Now I'm like 22, like little kids. Right? Now I'm 34, I'm like anxious to them. But listen to me. Living for God is something you do right now. I can't go back in time and fix the times whenever I made mistakes whenever I was a kid. I can name kids to people today that I wish that I would have taken a stand and been a testimony and been a witness to that were my age that now are no longer in church, want nothing to do with God. You say, is that your fault? No, I mean, it's their fault. But could I have been a better witness? Yes. Oh, if I could go back in time and talk to some of those people that I felt like the Lord was telling me, hey, you should give that person a track. Hey, you should invite them to church. And I didn't feel like it. I didn't want to. But number two, verbalize where the finish line is. Acts 20, verse number 20 says this. Acts 20, 20. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Can I tell you, whenever he's talking about finish the course, I love that word that he uses at the end of it. Finish my course with what? Joy. Can I tell you, young people, the best decision outside of salvation I've ever made in my life was to live a life for the Lord.
Amen.
It really is. And I don't say it enough, but God's been so good to me. And I, to this day, the best decision, you say, what about your wife? Yeah, that was an amazing decision. It really was. And honestly, if it weren't for her, I probably wouldn't have chose the life to live for the Lord. I married up, right? And she pushed me to that. I was playing games with God until I met her, and I got serious about it. Why? Because she was serious about God. Amen. You can't just look at a young lady from the outward and say, hey, she looks good, so that's a green light. No. She was more spiritual than I was. She married down. In every sense of the word, she married down. Looks. She's blind in one eye. That's what, for all, those of you who are like, how did that happen? Yeah, she's blind in one eye. No, she's really not. But listen, look, but spiritually, she was more spiritual than I was. Now, she's not now, obviously. But back then, she was. But if you, right there in verse number 24, whenever he says, so I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. You say, what's your end game? My end game is I want to live for the Lord the rest of my life. This church plant, I understand that starting a church is not fun. There's fun times in it, but I was with Brother Grice this morning. He was telling stories about crying, and I'm like, why are you saying that whenever I'm here? About starting his church, he must be a crybaby or something. He's like, I remember the days of crying. I'm like, stop. I don't want to hear those stories. I want to hear the good stories, the good days. But can I tell you, I know it's going to be ups and downs. And there's going to be times when I want to quit. And there's going to be times when I want to throw in the towel. And each and every one of you on your course, you've had the same thing. You've had opportunities. I would almost say everyone in this room has probably been offended by someone else in this room. Right? There's probably, you could have taken something that was done to you by someone or said to you by someone in this room and you could have left the church. Well, they just don't love me down there. You could have done it. Why? Because we're all people. Now, I know Brother Jeremy's a nice guy, but I'm sure he said something from up here before, maybe one time, that has hurt someone's feelings. And, right? 17 years? Maybe. No, probably not. No? Maybe once. He said, yeah, there probably was one. But listen, sometimes the pastor says something and hurts. But the truth does hurt sometimes. Amen. And what we have to be as Christians is we have to be strong enough to say, hey, I'm going to finish my course with joy. And I'm going to take it. I remember basketball, playing basketball so much, and I used to hate the first 2 weeks. First 2 weeks of my basketball, we never touched a basketball. And I'm like, how can you even call us basketball if we don't even get to see a basketball? And it would be on the line and line drill and suicide and on the line again and just run. You say, why would they not let you touch a basketball for 2 weeks if you're going to be playing basketball? Because I needed that. And sometimes in the Christian life, we go through these ups and downs and we have these trials and things that come in our way. And we don't know that we need it, but we need it. And we look at verse number 23 right here, it gives us our third point. It says, say the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Number three, there will be tests and trials as you head to your finish line. And Paul, of all people, had so many different things that came on his life. And he had every reason to quit. But he kept at it and he kept going. And can I tell you that no matter if it's financial troubles or no matter if it's with this virus and everything that's going on with it, stuff's going to happen. It's going to come. But as Christians, what we have to realize, if we focus, hey, my course is not done till the Lord comes back. My finish line's there. If I verbalize that, if I tell others, then it helps me. But I have to understand that there's going to be tests and trials. You say, what have the last 2 weeks been at our church? Tests and trials. Other people that don't go to this church are watching y'all and seeing how y'all handle this. Family members are watching y'all and seeing how y'all handle this. And there may be people that never step foot in this church, but the way y'all handle this stuff, they'll see the Lord in that. And you say, but I don't like bonds and afflictions. I don't like trials. None of us do. Right. We don't. I've never one time gone through something rough in my life and be like, yeah, this is great. No, but I have gone through stuff in my life and I look back at it. It helped me to become the person I am today. It helped me to become the Christian I am today. It helped me to become the father I am today, the husband I am today. And there's so many things in life that while we're going through it, we're like, man, I don't, why? But when we look back on it, we say, man, God was so good. Amen. And to be honest with y'all, if I were to face some of the adversities that you guys are facing and have faced, I don't know that I could finish. I don't. But I do know this. No matter what you're going through, God loves you. Amen. He's good. And He's worth living for. Just keep going. Amen. You say, but it's hard. I understand it. And I can't begin to imagine the lady you were mentioning that couldn't be here tonight. I don't know how she showed up this morning. I don't think I could do it. Well, I do know how she did it. The Lord. Amen. Amen. When we go through stuff in life, it helps us to be more like Him. And it helps us to turn to Him. Usually in my life, when things are going good, you know what I start doing? I start thinking I have it all together. I start thinking, well, I figured life out. I'm making good money now. Everything's going the way that I had planned. But the only problem with that is me. And if we would realize that it's all about Him and not about us, man, it would help us. Yeah. Lastly, 2 Timothy chapter number 4, where we'll finish up. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. This is a sword drill I would have lost, for sure. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. I already was here once. I don't know why I didn't mark it. Amen. 2 Timothy 4, verse number 7. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Number 4, determine that you're going to arrive at the finish line. You've got to determine. I do not like racing. As you can tell by looking at me, I'm not a runner. My wife's been trying to get me to do like a 5K or something with her. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds awful. No, I don't want to do that. But, you know, one thing I do like at times watching the Olympics when Usain Bolt was like taking off. I can watch that sometimes. But can I tell you this? In a race, it's not always easy. There's months and months and months of training that goes into that. And in our Christian life, young people, you don't know how many hours of prayer has gone into you. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for a praying dad, a praying mom, praying grandparents. This wouldn't happen. A praying church. Amen. I would not be here today. But you have to determine that you're going to arrive at the finish line. And I don't know what your race is. There may be a young man in here who says, man, you know, I feel like the Lord's calling me to go start a church someday. I didn't want that. The last thing I wanted to do was to be a preacher because my dad was a preacher. I didn't want nothing to do with it. I ran from it. From the time I was 12 to the time, really, and I'm being too honest right now, but when I went to Bible college, I went to play basketball. And I wasn't good enough to go anywhere else, so I went to a Christian college. He said, you pray about it? No. I just was like, all right, yeah. Brother Capacity was like, hey, it's going to be great. And everything was great. And I'm like, all right, yeah, I'll come play basketball. Not 1 second of prayer. Nothing. It's the grace of God that I'm even here tonight. I ran from it. But sometimes God can take our inefficiencies, our whatever, and He can still use it. Tell you this last story, and I'm done. I remember at 15 years old, and this will tell you how much of a preacher's son and a heathen I was. Not that you're a heathen, sir. But at 15, we used to go knock doors on Tuesday nights at our church there in El Dorado every Tuesday night. And I had an older brother that was 20. He was home from college during the summer. And we used to go to soul winning, dress like we were going to go soul winning, and then we would take basketball clothes with us. We'd go to the meeting. We would leave the meeting. We'd go to the local Methodist church, and we'd play basketball for about 3 hours every Tuesday night when we were supposed to be soul winning. You say, Brother Grice, or someone the other day said, did your dad know that? I'm like, that's a great question. I don't know. But hey, so every Tuesday, that's what it was. So this one Tuesday, another young man showed up named Chris Wright. And Chris Wright was 15 as well. And I was mad because Chris came. So guess what I had to do? I had to go with Chris. It was ruining my plans. I was wanting to go play basketball. I wasn't wanting to go knock on no doors. Hey, 15-year-old preacher son. That wasn't what I was wanting to do at that time, honestly. And so we went out. We're knocking on these apartment complexes. And we knocked the first building. I said, Chris, you're talking. I'm not doing any talking. I don't want to be here. I was mad. And he said, okay. He was fired up. He's like, all right, yeah, let's go. So he knocked on the whole first apartment. We knocked. He talked every single door. And it was just one of those days where everyone was mean, was a jerk, didn't answer. It was bad. Apartment number next, we go to, thinking it was going to change. It was awful. The last lady of that apartment slammed the door in his face. Didn't want nothing to do with it. We go to apartment building number three, and Chris says, I'm not talking anymore. You're talking. I'm like, no, I'm not. So he knocks on the door, and then he backs up. And I'm like, you jerk. How dare you? So this person opens the door, and I'm like, ah. And it's this big, massive man, jet black hair, looks like a bodybuilder. And anytime, as a teenage boy, someone like that that's intimidating answers the door, you're already, like, nervous. I was stuttering. And I remember just inviting him to church, and he was excited. He was like, yeah, I'll come. It sounds great. I need a church. I'm looking for a church. And I was like, awesome. This is great. See, Chris, that's how you do it. And so we leave. We go back to the church, and I tell my dad, yes, we had this great, great, great visit, and this is how it happened and all this. And so I remember that Sunday. As a 15-year-old boy sitting at the back of our building, watching out the glass doors. Because I thought, man, this guy told me he's going to come, so obviously he's not going to lie, right? I've never had anyone lie to you about coming to church. So I'm like watching, all right? And it's like 11 o'clock, 11:05, 10 after 11. And I'm like, all right, so I went and got a seat. No show. But I tell my uncle, I'm like, man, he said he's going to come. Something must have came up. So we'll go back on Tuesday. So I get my Uncle Bob to go with me. Tuesday, we knock on the door. No answer. Next Tuesday, we got to go back. Hey, I wasn't worried about basketball now. Next Tuesday, we go back, knock on the door, nothing. I said, let's give it one more shot, Uncle Bob. He's like, all right, we'll go. So we go that third Tuesday, and now the guy says, man, I forgot it was Tuesday. I was leaving every Tuesday because I didn't want y'all to catch me at home. But we knocked on the door on Tuesday. He opened up the door, and the tracks that we've been leading, he was using them as cup holders for his beers on his coffee table. And he said, you know, I told you I was going to come. I lied to you. I'm sorry. I'm going to come this Sunday. So I remember watching out the back, watching for that silver Camaro to pull in the parking lot. It did. I'm sitting in the back row on this side over here. And I'm just excited that this guy showed up. And, you know, we sing all the songs. And I'm just like, I'm singing louder than I ever sing. I'm more excited than I ever am because I have this visitor. And honestly, I'd had visitors before, but they were all on a bus route or something, not like an adult visitor sitting beside me in church. And so I'm excited, and he's here. And my dad preached. I walk out the aisle. He said, did you usually go? No, absolutely not. But that day I was like, man, I better go because what's he going to do? So I went. He followed behind me. He got saved. And today that guy's pastoring in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Burton Gates, and he just started a second church. You say, did that happen because you were some super spirit? I didn't even want to go. I wanted to play basketball. God did that. And God wants to use your life. See, here's the thing about it. I may not have been where I was supposed to be, but I was still on course. Right? I was still in church. I was still doing, my heart wasn't in it, but I was still doing what's right. And you young people, sometimes you may not, I get it. We go through ups and downs, but stay on your course. What do you mean? I'm saying stay in church. I mean, keep a love for the Lord. And I know firsthand, it's tough. It really is because it gets old and it gets complacent at times. And our walk with God, can I tell you though, the one thing that I never had that I wish that I would have started at a young age was a consistent walk with God. Amen. Front row, if y'all don't have it, get it. Amen. Get it now. You say, well, I read my Bible, so that first word I said is the key. Consistent. If I were to ask you guys when's the last time you read your Bible, the answer should be today. Amen. How weird would it be if I said, hey, when's the last time you brushed your teeth? And he was like, a few days ago. No one in here would be okay with that. Especially not the two guys beside him. Right? But so many times with young people, we give them passes. And it's like, all right, well, you just need to start that. No, it's not okay. Prioritize the Lord in your life, and He'll take care of you. You know, I just wish that as a young person, I would have been fired up. I go back to that very first illustration I gave, and I'm done, to say this. Whenever someone's around you, they'll watch you more than they'll listen to you. Brother Jeremy, where's a good place to eat? Well, man, that burger up the road, it's great. So, yeah, it's great. Do I really want to try that burger out? Well, God, He's... Well, lately it's been pretty rough. Yeah, I guess He's good. Yeah, I guess He's still faithful. No. He's always good. Through the good times and the bad. And He loves you. And no matter what you're going through, just stay on the course. Finish your course.